NXT TakeOver War Games 2020. Let's talk about it. We have a lot to talk about tonight, don't we? What's going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Rally Check, here with your November 18th, 2020 NXT review. How are you doing? Not going to waste any time. Going to go into the house cleaning. I got to send a quick shout out to Good Mic Work over on the Good Mic Work Commentaries channel. I won a raffle on his channel, and I got some speakers in the mail. I finally got them. A couple of weeks ago they were sent now, finally got them today, so shout out to Greg, shout out to Good Mic Work. If anybody that's watching me also watches him, tell him I send him a shout out, and the guy's way bigger than me. But if you don't know who Good Mic Work is, go check out Good Mic Work Commentaries on YouTube. Shout out to my buddy Jake DeMarco, our NXT guy. Round one of the NXT Women's Division Breakdown went up this past Friday. Thank you to those of you that came and joined us live in the chat. That was a lot of fun. If you want to catch the replay, look it up on this channel. Look it up on Spaz Phoenix Podcast, on any podcasting platform you like. Now, speaking of Mr. Jake DeMarco, we will have one or the other or both coming out to you in the next couple of days. Either it's going to be round two of the Women's Division Breakdown, or it's going to be a preview for Survivor Series, or it's going to be both. We're going to see how life goes. Schedules get in the way, life gets in the way, life has to come first. Hoping to get at least one of you, one of those out to you guys into this coming weekend going into Survivor Series. And I said this earlier today in conversation, I don't do a lot of previews. I mean, you guys have seen me do the odd preview here and there if I think a pay-per-view is going to be fun. But I want to do a preview for Survivor Series, not necessarily for the matches, but it'll just give me an opportunity to talk as a whole about what's going on Raw, what's going on SmackDown, because there are good things. There are good things. Drew McIntyre as champ, Roman Reigns as champ, the whole intricate relationship between Lana and Tables currently, what the women's division over there is doing. There is some stuff to talk about, and there is some fun conversation to be had, so I do want to do a little bit of a talk around Survivor Series, but it's more so going to be a chance for me to talk about what's going on the red and blue brands, considering we, the black and gold brand and its fans, were not invited to Survivor Series this year, but we got something so much better announced tonight, did we not? Also, hopefully, everything going evenly, without life getting in the way, me and Kristen are supposed to get and do part two of the Joker trilogy over on the FlixFix side of things. And if we do, that'll be out to you guys next Tuesday. And if we don't, it won't. That's how that goes. Speaking of shoutouts, I already gave one to Good Mic Work. I want to give a shoutout to my buddy OKFabe, who hasn't been on this channel in a long time. OKFabe hasn't been on this channel since the beginning of COVID. As we said, hey, look, COVID's coming. Isn't that a bit shit? He's not doing wrestling stuff right now. He's doing all kinds of other things over on his channel. But one of the things that he's doing is reviews of The Mandalorian. For those of you that are watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, it's 3 episodes in. I really like it. Sasha Banks hasn't ruined it yet. But it brought up an interesting question to me, and I thought about this earlier today, and I was watching his content. Whether by myself or with a co-host, would you guys be interested in me reviewing WandaVision when it hits Disney Plus? I know it's not for everybody. Not everybody has Disney Plus. Not everybody is a Marvel fan and all that sort of thing. You guys know, as far as movies go, Marvel is much more in my wheelhouse than Star Wars. Would you guys be interested in a short series reviewing the Wanda series on Disney Plus? If there is interest, I will look into it. I will see if maybe Kristen from FlixFix wants to join me on that as well. I'm interested. If you guys aren't interested, if it's not something you guys are going to be into, I won't bother. I'll put my thoughts out on Twitter like I do for everything else. Twitter has stories now. That's weird, right? We got stories on Instagram, we got stories on Facebook, we need stories on Twitter too. Now, they're called fleets instead of tweets. I like Twitter. Twitter is a blast. Twitter is a car crash piece of entertainment, but I don't think we needed stories. But that being said, I'm going to plug the socials like I do. Follow me on Twitter, @SpazPhoenix or @SpazPhoenix1 or both. follow them both, because I'm using both of them right now because I'm kind of an idiot. Instagram at Spaz Phoenix. Go to Facebook and look up the Spaz Phoenix Podcast Facebook group. If you're watching me on YouTube right now with Pretty Sexy Face and the Gimmick Hat, you want to find me in a podcast form, go to any of your podcasting platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all the fun ones. Search Spaz Phoenix Podcast. If you're listening to me in audio right now and you have never seen this channel, you've never had a chance to see the Pretty Sexy Face and the Gimmick Hat, you want to go over to YouTube and search Spaz Phoenix. I am on the YouTube channel, on my way, very, very slowly, slow, small, little, tiny goal of getting to 1,100 subs by the end of December. End of December is also my birthday, as well as being Christmas, as well as being the new year, as well as being the season finale of the shitty, shitty year we have had. If we can get me to that little tiny goal of 1,100 subs, I would really, really love it. I mean, I'd love to be much bigger. I'd love to be much wider spread and all that sort of thing. But I also tend to speak my mind, and people don't like that very much. So, and again, as I've always said, if you're going to share my stuff around, if you do share it, if you do retweet it, if you do post it somewhere else, please tag me. Please find a way to tag me. If it's on Facebook, if it's on Twitter, if it's on Instagram or whatever, please tag me, because as much as I know that there are people out there that do share my stuff around and I really do appreciate it, I don't want to miss anybody. If you've even clicked once, if you've clicked one retweet, if you've clicked one share, I want to at least send my thanks back your way, because it's the least I can do. And considering I don't make any money here, it's the only thing I can do. So let's try to get that done. Now, I am going to trip all over myself tonight. That is going to happen. This episode of NXT, talking to our good friend Jake DeMarco, who currently is over on the Joe Cronin channel, and they're talking about AEW. I mean, they want to review the B show. That's fine. As far as being functional, as far as getting everything up off the ground, as far as addressing every division, addressing every title, addressing every loose end, addressing every story going on in NXT right now, whether I like the story or I don't, this show, you could make an argument this was the best episode of NXT this year. You could make the argument. Now, I'm not including stuff like Great American Bash, and I'm not including stuff like Halloween Havoc, which were set up as mini pay-per-views, because those have different goals and results. Those are a night for a night's sake. This is a night to drive the brand forward. I will make the argument that this has got to be one of the best episodes they've had. This is their December 18th paper. This is their December 18th episode from last year. Not because it blew up on the night, but because it's got me this excited. You can tell in my voice how excited I am. I'm excited about the announcement we're going to talk about later on. I'm excited about just about every character on here. And the thing is, I've said for a while now, there are a couple people I'm ignoring. There's a couple people I'm sort of scraping over when it comes to NXT. And there was a bunch of that tonight. But the rest of it is so fucking good that I don't even care. The stuff that bugs me doesn't even bug me tonight. I laughed at it. When the rest of the show is good, you can laugh at the stuff you don't like. And this is the mentality. This is how I get through watching Raw and SmackDown, because I laugh for 3 hours, and the abdominal muscles I have should be, you know, washboard. They are not. If you've ever seen an actual picture of me, you'll know that they're not. But they should be. Let's start off with what's sort of hilarious, but not really. The replay of the North American Championship win by Leon Ruff last week. Now, I got in a bunch of shit on Twitter, as I usually do, because I told off Leo Rush in a little, like, 3-minute clip that came out of last week's review, and everybody thinks I'm a piece of shit. But you know what? It's still funny. Leo Rush still needs to chill. Leo Rush and Leon Ruff are both fantastic wrestlers, and I've said as much. So if they can't take a little bit of constructive criticism, if they can't take, hey, bring it off the boil a little bit as a piece of constructive criticism from a random nobody that they don't know and has no impact on their life whatsoever, then they can fuck off. But we got a big blown-up video package of the win from last week by Leon Ruff picking up the North American Championship, obviously with the help of Damian Priest, and they do it up like the big, you know, pay-per-view main event wins, where they talk to everybody else backstage, and they get all the tweets of all the reactions and whatever, and they make this big bombastic thing. And then Gargano comes in and cuts it off and you know, tells him to cut off the cheesy highlight reel, and tells him basically that he's a joke, that it's a fluke, that he only won with help, that he's Damian Priest's pawn. Like, how can you be proud of yourself when you're just being that guy's bitch, pretty much? Because from the perspective of Damian Priest, like, Damian Priest doesn't look down on Leon Ruff, but Damian Priest knows that Johnny Gargano looks down on Leon Ruff. I almost did the Leo Rush thing there. That's bad. So the only thing worse than Damian Priest coming along and taking that belt back off Gargano is helping somebody that Gargano would see as unworthy grab it from him instead. The overacting by Gargano in this is fucking amazing. But he comes out and there's a cheap shot by Gargano to start the match that was announced. This is sort of set up like one of those things where it's like, oh, you want to fight? Let's fight right now. And, you know, sort of impromptu battle type thing. But it was announced ahead of time, so I don't quite know why they produced it like that. I really don't care. I like Leon Ruff. In the past 2 weeks, he's already won me over, and they've done so much more in this episode to get that done. Cheap shot by Gargano and double leg corner tackle, hip hard Irish whip by Gargano, corner chops and forearms, chops by Ruff, boot and a forearm and a rolling Pele, top rope springboard head scissor by Ruff and an inside out springboard senton to the outside by Ruff. Two maneuvers back to back. Absolutely fucking phenomenal. Obviously, Gargano being a pro makes him look great as well. Lariat by Gargano and a lawn dart into the second turnbuckle. Lawn dart into the second turnbuckle on the opposite side by Gargano. And then Priest shows up on the ramp. There's a roll-up near fall off of that distraction by Ruff. There's a super kick, a power bomb, and he hits the one final beat. But Priest, and I love this, I cackled at my TV out loud when he knew that he was about to get the pin on Leon Ruff. He pulled Leon Ruff out of the ring. Leon Ruff looks confused. He tells him, sorry, kid, and punches him in the face. And everybody's kind of, what the fuck, until you hear the ring announcement that your winner by disqualification is Leon Ruff. So Gargano lost the match because of interference by Priest, because he hit the champ. It's fucking great. And the great thing about it too is Gargano overacting in the corner, whatever, he's absolutely apoplectic. He's hanging over the second rope like in disbelief. And Priest is literally helping Ruff limp to the back. He's got the belt sat on his shoulders and halfway over his head, the way Bubba Ray Dudley used to carry the tag team belts to the ring when it wanted to look a bit weird. But it's just like, I hit you in the face, but don't worry, it was only to screw over that guy. I love it. It's so ridiculous. You know what else is ridiculous? Fucking blindfold match in 2020. It's Grimes and Loomis, who I don't care about. Grimes beats up the ref because ha ha ha, he thought it was Loomis. Loomis stands in the center of the ring and does fuck all. Eventually, as soon as the ref's been taken out, they both take their masks off. They brawl. I don't even think there was a winner, and I don't care. In the back, Regal is getting in Priest's face. Oh my God, how could you do that? Why are you getting involved? Don't you know what you're doing? There's supposed to be a title match. And he's like, come on, man, it's Gargano. Like that makes it better. It's almost like WWE is an American company. It's almost like you can screw over the guy if we don't like him. Moving on. And then Leon Ruff is all pissed off that Damian Priest is taking him as a joke. Damian Priest, you could tell, is halfway between, oh shit, I've just been caught, and shit, I genuinely didn't want to make this guy feel bad. He sort of tries to play it off. Come on, man, you know how it is. I just wanted to, you know, be a buddy and lend you a hand. Oh, you don't think I'm a joke? Do you think I'm a joke now? And little, tiny, scrappy Leon Ruff bitch slaps Damian Priest. Fucking brilliant. It's good. We're going more places with this, I promise. We get in the back what I initially thought was another promo by Shotzi Blackheart that I love, that everybody else is going to hate. People hated a while ago when she did the big long video promo about herself and she was in the open field with the big tanks and she was trying to tell everybody about herself. But all anybody could focus on was, oh, she's in the field with a tank and that's kind of goofy. And it's like, now you know. And you know what the tank thing symbolizes, and you know what the helmet with the horns symbolizes, and we've seen, you know, the background that she has with horror and why she sort of lives that gothic horror type lifestyle and whatever. But all everybody's, oh, it's a little bit goofy that she's sitting on a tank. Fuck off. You know, you don't want to give her a shot, that's fine, but don't try to pretend that you have a reason. I thought this was going to be another promo like that I would love and everybody else would hate. But she just talks, she's talking to Candace, and it's all about, you know, rebuilding, coming back, and you know, coming up out of the fire. But she's walking around in this workshop, and I'm thinking, okay, the tank got run over by the Hummer, by Candice LeRae. And so are we doing a little promo where she's like building herself a bigger, better tank? She's going to have a bigger, better entrance. You know, she's all, you know, she's in the dirty work clothes and, you know, there's sparks flying everywhere and it's all, it's over the top in the way that Shotzi Blackheart is awesome and over the top. But then you go, and but then she turns it into, I know something you don't know. And I know what time it is. It's time for war. And then you realize that none of this was a Shotzi promo. This was Shotzi telling the world that War Games is coming December 6th. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And oh my god, how we build from here. It's happening in like 2 weeks. It's happening in 2 weeks. It's going to have 2 weeks of build, and it's going to pull every loose thread, every story, everything that's kind of been scattered all over the brand is going to pull together in the next 2 weeks. And it could potentially be the best thing that we've had in this shitty year of 2020, and that is not hyperbole. That is not your brand bias and whatever. Okay, we're not wrestling in orange juice over here, you know? We're not poking eyes out. We're not, you know, doing weird things. Well, we didn't quite fuck up Hell in the Cell this year. We're not climbing up to the top of Titan Towers to have a fight on the roof. We are doing what has been, in the past couple of years, the best takeover on the best brand in North American mainstream professional wrestling. We're doing it in December. This is how we're ending the year, and all the stories leading up to it is going to be fucking fantastic. I won't hear a word against it. This is fucking... And the fact that right at the helm, not only is the TakeOver War Games logo this year, the big fucking tank, the one helming the promotion of the pay-per-view is my fucking girl, Shotzi, who I came on this channel to say, look, I just saw this girl at Destiny. Yes, tick it off your Spaz Phoenix bucket list. She's fucking awesome. I've heard she's coming to NXT. And everybody's like, oh, no, that's crazy. She just works for Evolve and a couple of other places. And then I posted the video of William Regal showing up the Evolve show, giving her a contract. And I said, this girl is fucking coming, and it's going to be fucking awesome, and you guys aren't going to get it, and I'm going to have fun. And now she's helming the last pay-per-view of the year. It's going to take us out of the shitty year of 2020, and it's fucking awesome. I don't care. I don't care what AEW pulls out of their ass. I don't care what, really, to a large degree, I don't care what happens at Survivor Series or at TLC. I don't care if Impact is doing something. I don't care if ROH has a pay-per-view. I don't care. I mean, it's not going to happen because we're in shutdown again. Even if Destiny was having a show in December, this is it. This is NXT TakeOver War Games, helmed by my girl Shotzi Blackheart, and I could not ask for more from this brand that this channel is basically based around. Yes, I'm having fun tonight. I'm excited. This is fucking amazing. I love this. Anyways, you know what else I love? Women's Tag Team Wrestling, because we had a women's tag team match announced for this show, and this wasn't even it. This is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. Indy and Carter start the match. There's a rolling knee bar by Carter, one arm slam by Catanzaro, a heel kick by Carter, a drop kick by Catanzaro, a gut buster by LeRae, an arm bar by LeRae, double mud hole stomp by Indy and LeRae. Indy and Catanzaro trade some shots. It's followed by a power slam by LeRae. Rolling clothesline by Carter, and then Carter hits a modified Sister Abigail, for reasons, we're going to roll with it because we're having a good night. Mule kick by Carter, brainbuster by LeRae, boot by Indy, the Wicked Stepsister, which is another amazing move name, gets the win for LeRae and Hartwell. And if you like LeRae and Hartwell, stay tuned. It's not the last time you're going to see them tonight. Then we get another piece of good news. Arturo Ruiz has been called up. Yes, indeed. He has been called up from Raw Underground to NXT to take on Kushida. Now, Kushida's on a roll, so that doesn't bode too well for Arturo Ruiz, but let's see where we go with this. Single leg by Ruiz, tries for an armbar, turns it into a test of strength. Kimura by Ruiz, a series of strikes by Kushida, high knee by Ruiz, forearms by Kushida. Ruiz works the arm, works the hand, works the fingers, a little bit of Pete Dunne shit in there. Roll over into another Kimura by Ruiz, double low drop kick, punt, round kick by Kushida, and he stomps on the hand. Anything you can do, I can do better. In this case, I'm going to fuck up your hand because you tried to fuck up my hand. We like that story. If you've been paying attention on this channel at all, anything you can do, I can do better. We like that story in wrestling because it's simple and it's good and it makes sense, and we need more simple, good things that make sense in professional wrestling. Body scissor armbar combination by Kushida, figure four into a roll up by Kushida gets the win. Anticlimactic, but I'll take it as a surprise win, because Kushida is showing us right now all these different ways that he can win. He's got the hoverboard lock, he's got various impact moves, he's got his striking, and for a very, very short match, for a guy that did, was one of the guys that did manage to look really good in the Raw Underground setting, Arturo Ruiz back in here with somebody like Kushida to make him look good, was good. I'm going to keep using the word good, but I mean, it's a little bit of diversity, and if anything else, it showed Kushida with a completely different kind of opponent. So while I don't want to take the focus off of Arturo Ruiz because he's sort of re-debuting, it did do a lot to show the flexibility of somebody like Kushida, who I think is going to be in some kind of title picture sometime soon. We don't know. Ember Moon and Toni Storm hype up their tag team match later on tonight against Kai and Raquel Gonzalez, and then we find out that that's not happening later. It's actually happening up next. We come in. I'm still getting used to Ember Moon's new entrance, by the way. I like it. I think she's done great. All the costuming stuff that she does with her ring jackets and stuff is really badass, and it doesn't venture into, like, Naomi glitzy, gaudy territory. It's just, look, I did another creative thing. I love Ember Moon. I love Toni Storm. I love Dakota Kai. And Raquel Gonzalez is getting there. If any of you saw the first round of the women's breakdown, the last woman we talked about, myself and Jake, was Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel Gonzalez turned my opinion of her on a dime in her match with Rhea Ripley a couple weeks ago, and she did it again here. Anyways, Toni and Raquel start the match. There's two knockdowns by Gonzalez, corner kick by Kai. Toni eats the turnbuckle. My writing is really shit tonight because I was writing fast because I was excited. So, again, I'm going to talk myself in circles. You guys are going to have to deal with that. Basement dropkick by Storm. She trades some strikes with Kai. There's a snapmare by Kai, a clothesline by Moon, and a heel toss. Heels get tossed outside by the faces as we go to commercial break. Shots to the back by Raquel, back elbow and a head scissor by Storm. Inverted curb stomp and a senton by Ember Moon. Second rope code breaker by Moon. That she's working really good on that. I know she's working on alternatives to the Eclipse because she was fucking up her tailbone, if I've read the stories correctly. But she's still doing the second rope code breaker, which I have to believe fucks up your whole back and not just your tailbone. I really don't know. Over-the-shoulder backbreaker by Raquel. Pounce by Raquel was nice. Didn't see that one coming. Snapmare by Kai. Head scissor by Moon. Rolling knockdowns and a German suplex by Storm. Three German suplexes by Storm. Hip attack by Storm on the outside. Bridging Northern Light suplex. Tornado DDT by Moon. Super kick by Kai. Kai and Storm trade some forearms. There's a Huluva kick by Kai. The Huluva kick by Kai is still a thing of beauty. Boot by Storm. Suicide dive by Moon. Symbol cradle out of all the mayhem by Storm. Gets the win for Moon and Storm. And then, because we just announced a pay-per-view called War Games, and we need to start building some teams of four, Moon and Storm are posing. Moon and Storm are posing on the rampway, just defeating Kai and Gonzalez, and they are assaulted by Indy and LeRae, who feed them back to Kai and Gonzalez, and there's a little bit of a nod between the pairing of LeRae and Hartwell and the pairing of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. So there's your team of four. I'm making bold predictions, but they're already there. They've already been kind of forming. Kai, Gonzalez, LeRae, Hartwell versus Storm, Moon, Shotzi, and I'm assuming the loser of tonight's main event. But anyway, we go to the back. We go to the parking lot where the Kings of NXT arrive. That's Pat McAfee's group. I've heard them referred to multiple times as the Kings of NXT. They have never given themselves a name, so I'm going to go with Kings of NXT until somebody tells me otherwise. Now, talking about things that I don't usually care about that we're going to sort of skim over, Thatcher came out and beat the fuck out of August Gray for a couple minutes. This went on for a while. It was an extended squash. I don't care about Thatcher, right? I have the same conversation about Thatcher that I have about guys like Lorcan and Birch until they changed my mind. Sometimes all you need to change your mind is an opponent. And you see what Thatcher can do. We saw what Thatcher could do back in the NXT fight pit with Matt Riddle and how good that was. Now take Thatcher in a random stare down with who? Random stare down with who? Who else is really jonesing for an opponent right now? How about Thatcher versus Tommaso fucking Ciampa? Because that's a stare down that happened. And that was it. Nothing happened of it. Thatcher sort of said, look, man, I've got no beef with you and he sort of stepped off, tried to keep his badass aura intact while clearly backing down from the psycho killer. As we come back from the commercial break, we see that Tommaso Ciampa was interviewed during the commercial break, and the question was put to him, what was all that about? And he says, well, wasn't it clear? Like, I want to fight Thatcher. Like, it's so fucking simple, and I love it. Because there's no drama to it, there's no story to it, and that goes with the promos that that Ciampa's been doing the past couple of weeks about, you know, the new culture in the locker room and the sense of entitlement, and this is how people are in 2020, and speaking a little bit too much truth to be a heel, if you ask me, but Thatcher versus Ciampa is going to be fucking ridiculous. Now, the only thing I will say, because I am looking forward to this match, there is no but, I do have a concern where so much of the guy's offense is based on submission, and so much of his offense is based on neck submissions and being able to, you know, abuse people in the head and neck area. I don't know how that's going to work, choreographing a match with Ciampa. Now, I'm not saying Ciampa's a wuss by any stretch of the imagination, but the guy's neck has been fucked. So I'm thinking either he's going to show his diversity, he's going to work submissions on, like, a different part of the body, like, full body submissions, or leg, or arm, or whatever. I don't see him, like, ripping at Tommaso Ciampa's head like he was doing on August Grey tonight. But that's really good. They can stretch that out 2 weeks and throw that on the takeover. That is a good way to throw Thatcher on a pay-per-view in a way that I would really like to see. That's much better than, hey, for reasons, we're throwing you on TakeOver against Texas Teen Dream, who we haven't seen in a little bit, and I'm very, very, very okay with that. Moving on, Damian Priest has a match. He's been causing ruckus and chaos all night. He's got a match. He's going down to the ring. His match is coming up next. He's coming out to the ring. He's doing the entrance that we all love, and he pauses for an inordinate amount of time on the apron. Why? Because he's going to get attacked by Johnny Gargano. Obviously tackles him right off the apron, body shots in the corner by Priest and forearms and KOs. Then he beats down Gargano, throws him across the comm desk, beats him up a little bit more, and then Leon Ruff jumps into the ring, head scissors Gargano into Priest, and knocks them both out of the ring. Here's Gargano, one of the Mount Rushmore of NXT. Here's Damian Priest, one of the guys that the current machine of NXT has been pushing a whole lot. Both of them tossed outside by this guy who neither one of them really takes seriously. And then in the back, he gets confronted by William Regal. Do you know what you're in for? Like, do you know what you're getting yourself into? He says, yeah, I want some respect. You know what? Here's the headline. I'm going to take on both of them. So, yeah, that's a thing. I really hope that, once again, they can be patient. If this is going to be a triple threat match, if it's going to be Gargano versus Ruff versus Priest, throw that on TakeOver. We're building a card right fucking now. Isn't it good? We also get the little bit of an announcement from Wade Barrett on commentary. He says, I'm not going to be here next week, but I've made a few calls. I've talked to a few friends. And my good friend Kevin Owens is going to be filling in for me next week. We've got Kevin Owens on commentary in NXT. Now, I might be reading between the lines. I might be doing a lot of wishful thinking here. When was the last time we saw Kevin Owens in NXT? He made a surprise appearance to be on one of the teams in War Games. This is going to be sort of not the go-home show, but the go-home show to the go-home show of this year's War Games. We haven't seen Kevin Owens all that much on the main roster in the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks, unless there's something I'm forgetting. Could this be the very, very first tiptoe of a step to sending Owens down the Balor route and getting Kevin Owens back on the NXT roster? I really fucking hope so. I'm probably wrong. I'm absolutely probably wrong, but I want to see Kevin Owens back in NXT. I would love to see Kevin Owens mix it up with a lot of people on NXT. I would love to see Kevin Owens versus Damian Priest. Why the fuck not? They're not doing anything with him on the main roster, are they? Really? Like, really? but yeah. I just think it's kind of funny because when Wade Barrett came and joined their commentary team, there was a lot of people that are like, oh, I wonder if he's going to get back in the ring. I wonder if he's just going to get up from commentary one day and hop back in the ring, and or maybe he's going to, you know, join some battle royal or whatever. Now, if you're bringing in Owens for a guest spot, that leaves a lot to the imagination. Now, main event of the night. Now, they said a bunch of times on commentary They spent a lot of time, because we were still waiting to hear from Finn Balor, they spent a lot of time comparing what was going on in this match as the match went along to the match that Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly had at the last TakeOver. This is not quite that. Nobody broke their jaw in this match. Nobody bruised their liver in this match. I don't think the comparison was quite proper, but it's not to say that it wasn't far off, because Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai, ladies and gentlemen, look me in the face if you're watching me on video, pretend to look me in the face if you're listening to me in audio, beat the fuck out of each other. Oh yes, collar and elbow tie-up, and there's a facebuster by Ripley. People were surprised, I should say, before I get into this, people were surprised that they didn't do Poppy again for Io Shirai's entrance. Now, I love the Poppy thing. I think the fact that Poppy is so assumed at this point, the fact that Poppy is so synonymous with NXT that it's kind of, I've said it before, they've kind of become the NXT house band a little bit. I think that is really cool. At the same time, you can't expect it every time, and you shouldn't expect it every time, because now, the next time we see Io Shirai at a TakeOver, it's not going to be like, hey, this is big and important and a TakeOver thing. Like, I know Halloween Havoc wasn't a proper TakeOver, but it was an elevated episode of NXT. So, would it have been cool? Of course. Would it be cool to get some random rock band in there to do Rhea Ripley's entrance? Cool. Was it cool a couple years ago when Hailstorm sang Ember Moon's old theme to her to get her to the ring at one of the pay-per-views? Absolutely. I popped for Hailstorm. Hailstorm is in my intros and outros on this channel. That's got to be fucking obvious. But it didn't suffer for not having it, is what I'm trying to walk around to say. Collar and elbow tie-up and a facebuster by Ripley, a collar and elbow tie-up again, and a springboard snapmare into a dropkick by Shirai. Tackle by Ripley, a forearm by Shirai. Suicide dive by Shirai is blocked by Ripley. The power, like, I can't say it in any one particular incident, but I will say, over the course of the entire match, the way that they worked so naturally, Ripley is stronger, Shirai is faster. Shirai also might be a little bit more technical, is... like, but the power and strength and size game went to Ripley, and they played it up without making it obvious. Like, they didn't do any big, like, Mark Henry, Big Show type moments. It wasn't like Ripley and Gonzalez a couple weeks ago, which was a Haas match, and that was literally like the two Mack trucks smacking into each other, and they were really good at that. This wasn't that, which makes it even better. It's like what I said about Kushida earlier tonight. Put him in there with Arturo Ruiz with a different opponent, show how flexible he is. These women are both doing that at the same time, and it's fucking awesome. Electric chair drop on the apron edge by Ripley as we go to the commercial break. Now, I've said before, I don't really try to call what happens during the commercial break, because small screen, and I'm watching it on a stream, which fucked me up at the end of this show. I just need to put out, we're going to get there when we get there. But I will say that nothing happened. I was kind of looking up at the picture-in-picture still, and nothing happened. They played up the entire commercial break that after that facebuster into the apron, that Io Shirai was being checked on the entire commercial break. Now, that's awesome, and it really does build, and oh my god, that was a really impactful maneuver. I really hope she's okay, roddy roddy rah. But it ended right as the commercial break was ending. And if that doesn't make wrestling feel a little cut and paste, if I can't be honest about that, then I can't spew the praise that I'm going to spew on the rest of this match. The only nitpick I will make on this match, by the way, body scissor by Ripley as we come back from commercial break, and Shirai reverses with elbow shots and mounted punches and all kinds of Austin style stuff. Face first slam by Ripley, stomping on the midsection, vertical suplex, seated abdominal stretch, German suplex off the second turnbuckle by Shirai out of desperation because she's just had her ass handed to her for the past couple of minutes. Corner back elbow by Shirai, a double stomp and a drop kick. And after the drop kick, we see the side of Ripley's head. Now, I don't know if she did something to her ear or whether she tore one of her piercings or whether it was just from somewhere else on her face. Her ear somewhere is busted open at this point. Now, whether it was the back elbow, whether it was the drop kick, I don't know. But it did add a little bit to it. I'm not an evil, malicious, you know, cruel, crude person. But wrestling fans, blood does add to the match. It just does. Crossface by Shirai, now that we see that her head is bleeding, it just keeps telling on the story, because if, you know, put a crossface on somebody, they go beat red because all the blood is rushing to their head. Now, if all the blood rushing to their head is rushing out their fucking ear hole, that's a different kind of story, isn't it? Arm drag face busters on the apron by Shirai. Ripley eats the steps on the outside as we go to a second commercial break, which I could have done without, I'm not going to lie. Second rope suplex by Ripley as we come back. They trade some shots from their knees. Heavy knee strikes by Ripley. A snapmare and a dropkick. Modified figure four thing that Ripley does with one fucking arm. Selling the fact that her other arm is fucking wrecked. And she still manages to do the spin because she's the fucking powerhouse. Cross arm breaker by Shirai. The 619 misses. The 619 misses again. The 619 hits for a third time. Missile dropkick by Shirai. Double knees, moonsault misses. The lariat by Ripley, a DDT by Shirai. And then Shirai does this thing. And you guys can't see my notes because my writing is fucking horrendous, right? I can only explain this to you as Ripley is on the apron, sort of like stuck between the ropes. Shirai gets a running head start and hits a suicide-style sunset flip powerbomb from the apron to the commentator's desk. And then in an ending that is so fucking cruel, the countdown starts. The countdown is going from 10 to 1 like it does. She makes it in, like she basically does that thing that baby faces do in desperation where they're trying to beat the count and they sort of lunge in. She lunges in. She's on her belly. Shirai takes one look at that, the over the moonsault, I think is what they're calling it now, to the small of the back as Ripley's crawling back into the ring for the 1-2-3. Shirai is still your NXT champion. And for a brief minute, you guys know Io Shirai is fantastic. I appreciate the fuck out of her. And she's talented as fuck. She's probably better than most of the people that I like. But my biases do take over. I was as close to heartbroken as a wrestling mark can be that Rhea Ripley didn't pull out here. But obviously, If Io Shirai had lost, we would really have to worry about her going to the main roster, which I don't want. And also, you flip the coin, you look at the other side of the story, Rhea Ripley has to be the fourth member of Team Shotzi at War Games, doesn't she? So you get Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez versus the team, the masterstroke. Okay. We all have our favorite matches from Survivor Series matches gone by. My favorite Survivor Series team ever was Team Captains DX, which was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, the Hardy Boys, and CM Punk. That is one of my favorite Survivor Series matches, our favorite Survivor Series teams of all time. I mean, they smoked their competition and the match was hilarious. But look at this team. You guys that have been following me for a long time and know who I like and who I get behind and who I'm excited about. Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley. Tell me that's not your fucking all-star team to wrap up the year for NXT in 2020. That is great. And if it doesn't happen, if they manage to fit something else into the mix here that fucks that up, because I've already created it in my head, I'm already seeing the match in my head. If that's not what we get, then you're going to see me ranting up here. So no more injuries. Set it. Set it in stone right now because we're about to talk about the other War Games match. They ended it on a heart shake. I'm excited. So now we shake hearts instead of hands. Yeah, it's not my first day with my brand new tongue. Handshake and a hug, and then Rhea Ripley goes up the ramp. And I thought for a split second, is she going to freak out of frustration and like turn heel on Io Shirai? But she didn't. And that's fine, because if they do it every time, then it's not a surprise anymore in Roddy Roddy Rah. Literally, as they're leaving, Finn Balor comes in from the opposite side and slips into the ring. They didn't time this show well, is what I'm going to say, because he literally, no entrance, no nothing, slips into the ring. He addresses his injury. He addresses the three plates that are now in his jaw. He's interrupted by the Kings of NXT, and I swear to Christ, my stream died right here. I had to go back and watch it after I had already seen what happened. But basically, the Kings of NXT come out. Pat McAfee brags about getting the tag titles. They brag about disposing of Maverick and Dane and Breezango and all these other people. Pete Dunne's here, and he's a badass and whatever. For a split second, forgetting that War Games is coming up soon, for a split second, I thought, because he started talking about like how they're going to start collecting gold, I thought he was going to set up Pete Dunne. I thought that we were going to get Balor versus Pete Dunne for that title at War Games, which we have to get at some point, don't we? We were supposed to get Balor versus Walter. That's not happening. Walter's over there doing UK things. But, I mean, these guys are both on the brand. We do have to get Balor versus done at some point, don't we? We don't get that. They brag. This is what all we've done. You've been off, you know, fixing your face and whatever. And Balor, it's kind of corny, but only Balor could get away with saying something like this. He says, "I was wrong, but now the cat is back, and look what I dragged in." And then, shuck the system. And yes, I marked like a 5-year-old, because out comes Undisputed Era, badass as you want, and brawls with the Kings of NXT to end the show. Now, I don't know where Balor went, and I don't know what his announcement was supposed to be, because these two teams of four fighting does not tell us what we're doing with the NXT Championship. If this is a stall, because we're not going to have an NXT Championship match at TakeOver War Games, I'm still completely okay with that. Leave that belt on Balor. Let him sort of float around a little bit till Cross, and then when the new year starts, either we get Balor versus Cross, we get Balor versus Dunn, we have every single thing we could possibly want. But at the same time, you can leave it off TakeOver, because you've got one War Games match that's going to be money. It's going to be the Kings of NXT versus the Undisputed Era. That writes itself. And you've got the other superstar women's War Games match that I just outlined to you a second ago, with that superstar team of Ember Moon, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley, Shotzi Blackheart, and whoever's going to take on Io Shirai for her title at the pay-per-view as well. Let any of those main event. You do not need to fast-track another solution to the NXT Championship right now, because you've got so much else happening on this fucking show right now. This brand, I don't get it. Other than the fact that people just won't watch NXT because it's got the WWE stink on it, this brand, from the women's division to, okay, not the tag team division, we'll put that to one side, from the women's division to the main event scene to the cruiserweight division to the North American Championship situation that's forming right now, this brand right now is an embarrassment of riches. And if you can look me in the eye and say that you've been paying attention to NXT at all, and say that you're not excited the fact that in 2 weeks we are getting a card that already looks like this, you're fucking lying, or you're delusional. That is all I can say. That's it. That's all. That's all I've got. The preview for this, when me and Jake sit down to preview this pay-per-view, we might as well be sitting there and wanking, because this show is going to be fucking great. And what are we going to do in a preview? Say, yeah, it's NXT, and it's TakeOver, and it's War Games, and it's going to be fucking awesome. See you at the show. Like, that's how it's going to be. That's it. I'm having a lot of fun. I cannot tell you how. And everybody by tomorrow morning or by tomorrow night when you guys are watching this, everybody's going to come up with 100 reasons why I shouldn't like this show. Oh, the blindfold match was stupid. Yeah, it was. But you know what? You got two characters that I don't care about taking care of each other. And, like, you took Thatcher, who I don't care about, gave him an opponent that I do care about, and now I care about Thatcher. It works. The women's, NXT's women's division. That's the sentence. NXT's women's division. You could do an entire TakeOver with NXT's women's division. And I'm in a good mood. I'm not even going to take the obvious shot at AEW tonight. This brand that nobody wants to look at, that nobody wants to say anything about because it happens to fall under the WWE stink. Tell me how this is anything like Raw. Tell me how this is anything like SmackDown. Tell me how this is anything like 205 Live. Not that I really want to shit on UK, but tell me how this is anything like NXT UK. Honestly, without your bias, tell me how this is not better than anything you're seeing on the other brand. Other brand's done for the year. They got their one special show coming up where it's Omega versus Moxley. Okay, cool. Penta versus Omega was supposed to be a really, really, really super kick-ass, like, penultimate wrestling thing, and it got beat in the ratings by NXT's women's division. Oh yes, I'm having a good night. This is fucking good. My face is hot with how excited I am. This is why I got the water. Usually I've got something far less good for me. I've got the ice water because I'm super excited. I'm gonna go back through what I said at the beginning. Please go check out Connor and all the Mandalorian shit that he's doing. Please go shout out good mic work. Please go check out all the stuff that Jake and I are doing about the NXT's women's division. Check out the Flix Fix stuff, and hopefully me and Kristen have some more Joker stuff for you soon. Send a love letter to my buddy Jordan, my AEW cohort, because we are not talking about AEW tonight. And this episode, more than any other episode of NXT that I've seen in a long time, encapsulates that short-lived motto that NXT had for a long-ass time and is printed on the back of half of the t-shirts. NXT, follow that, motherfucker. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to each and every last one of you later, but for right now, I'm tagging the fuck out. Have a good night. Freak.